When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Speak to a lot of Nashville session greats about their favorite overdrive pedal, and plenty will point to one box, the ODR1 from Nobels. Fast forward to 2020, and the original 1993 release has had a few tweaks to introduce the ODR1 BC. This legendary drive pedal now includes a built-in bass cut, allowing the player to tame some of that wild low end, while single coil users can still access the harmonically rich full range of the ODR1. There really has never been a better time to own this absolute cult classic transparent overdrive pedal to deliver creamy natural overdrive. Everything from pushed clean amp tones to gain-filled stacks. This legendary pedal is guaranteed to be a big part of your sound. Available from all good guitar shops, or visit nobels.de for more info. Check out Reverend Guitar's incredible range of artist signature models. With nearly as many artist line guitars as they do in their standard range, there is something for every type of player, and always with a wonderful twist. Check out the series of Reeves Gabriel's signature models, each one with its own unique style and purpose. There's the original model based on the classic Charger body shape, fitted with Reeves' own signature rail hammer humbuckers, also available loaded with a Sustainiac in the neck for built-in Bode-style controllable feedback, designed for use in Reeves' own band, Reeves Gabriels and his imaginary friends. The Space Hawk, Reeves' first signature model designed specifically for The Cure, is a dark and brooding retro semi-hollow with a gorgeous split pickguard and Reeves' rail hammer buckers. And the Dirt Bike is Reeves' simple, no-frills, pick-up-and-go, single humbucking, back-to-basics machine, designed for jamming with his buddies in East Nashville. Check them out, along with the rest of Reverend's substantial range of guitars and basses, at reverendguitars.com. Bonjour et bienvenue au podcast des Nerds de la Guitare. Je suis ton hôte, Joe Branton. Je suis accompagné de Matt Knight.
Hello.
Et Mark Packham.
Hello.
Et Jay Cross.
Am I in the right room?
Messieurs, bonjour.
I really wasn't paying attention. Someone started
What's
talking
happening?
In another language and I just gave up.
I just introduced the podcast in French. I'm
Guitar Nerds is still Guitar Nerds. No. You don't need to like translate Guitar Nerds because Guitar Nerds is the brand.
It's like
an Apple iMac is still an Apple iMac.
Yeah.
France.
I just thought, you know.
It was very good, though. How just out of interest, did you do that on your lunch break today? Or was that something that is considered Guitar Nerds?
Are we paying you for that, basically?
No, I messaged my keyboard player, Josh, who speaks French, and asked.
I'd love it if he just made it say Joe Branton is a massive idiot or something like that. That'd be the dream.
No, it's good. It's good. That was my introduction. Anyway, yes.
What language are you doing next week?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I should do a new language each week. That's actually good. I'm going to do that.
Okay, here's one for you. Uh-huh. Regular people don't care. Patrons of Guitar Nerds. Uh-huh. Can you please translate the Joe Branton Guitar Nerds intro into the language that you speak that is not English, please, and send it over to him so that he can do it.
That sounds great.
That's a challenge for this week for you.
New language and then every week.
And then that patron can rate your pronunciation. Mm. And if it is bad and considered insulting, then you will be the weakest link and we get to vote you off.
Right, okay. Well, yeah, that seems fair. I'm pretty confident in my abilities. So
cool.
Yeah, I am game for that. Anyway, this week on the Guitar Nerds podcast, there have been a lot of new things really. So loads of pedals that we're going to talk about. But first of all, I'd like to introduce our new patrons who have joined us over on the Patreon. They've signed up to either the $1, the $5 or the $10 tier. Welcome to Matthew Arnold, to Tidge Harmon, to John Holmes and to Frederick Ruse. Thank you all very much for signing up and joining the team. Now, now this month, we're continuing our giveaways, and we've teamed up with Ashdown. I had to give you a double giveaway for this month. Obviously, we started this last week, but as a reminder, so that you can go and find the post and enter, we are giving away two Ashdown amplifiers. They're floor-mounted pedal board-based amplifiers. The Newt, which is a 200-watt guitar amplifier, and the Ant, which is a 200-watt bass amplifier.
You started with the Newt so we could make the Ant and Deck joke, didn't you?
I forgot that you did that last week, but yeah. But the yes, you know, and again, the Newt is in a limited edition, very fetching greeny colour, which is rather lovely. And also your absolute solution for people looking for a super high headroom, very, very clean amp, or if you use preamps or multi-effects and you want to run them straight to an amp, this is an absolutely fantastic solution. Now, all you have to do to enter is to visit our Facebook or our Instagram and find the entry post and just follow the steps on there to enter. So the competition's open worldwide, and we'll be announcing the winner right here on the podcast on the 10th of June. So you've got until the 8th of June to enter, as we record a couple of days in advance. But yes, how wonderful. Go and join the competition, because these are two absolutely fantastic products. Kind of a little bit out of left field for me, for sort of the for Ashdown releases. I didn't expect them to be coming up with this sort of a solution as a relatively traditional kind of predominantly valve-based bass amplifier company. This like £300 200-watt floor-based guitar amplifiers are not exactly what I'd expect them to do, but a fantastic and very welcome product. To be honest, something a lot of guitarists should buy anyway, even without the competition, for like £300 for a 200-watt clean amp head.
Wait, just pop it in your gig bag. That's the that's the key thing, isn't it? So you can just go to the gig. I mean, not at the moment, obviously, but when gigs are back and you need small amps again, then yeah, get one of those. But yeah, it's weird at the moment, isn't it? Because like, if you're stuck in your house, do you need a small amp or a big amp? Because like, you're not taking it anywhere, so it doesn't need to be like portable and that. But also, you're in your house, so how big does it need to be?
Well, I guess
as big as you can get away with.
That's, I guess, true. What you need at the moment is a good amp for recording. I think that's the main thing that everyone really needs at the moment. I kind of think, you know, either that or practicing. But yeah, who needs a practice amp? Just have something that's great for recording, and then it can also be a good practice amp.
On the flip side of that, I'm so close to pulling the trigger on some Boss Wazza Air headphones.
Really? I mean, goodness me. I was having a phone conversation with Matt earlier. And a phone conversation. Why did I say it like that?
On the phone.
I was on the phone. and I was saying, like, of all the times for Boss to have released those, like, you know, whatever it was, 6 months before lockdown, when kind of playing at home becomes the only thing you can do. It's literally the best product for exactly that sort of thing.
I actually would disagree with you there, and I think just blending the two conversations that we've had for a second, I would say that the best thing for that would be actually the Ashdown headphones, the multimeter headphones.
Oh yeah, that's true. They do actually look fantastic.
Not quite the same thing. They don't have any of the guitar modelling and stuff in.
No, I was kidding, of course. But what I did actually look that up for was because I was wondering if Ashdown have done pedals before.
Yeah.
Do you
pedals
know?
Pedals before. We spoke about loads. These last week.
Have they done loads?
Yeah. They've done them under
like
their
own... before these this like generation.
Yeah, they did a range of pedals called Dr. Green.
They did those, but they also did some double pedals, didn't they, of their own making that had the VU meter built in, from what I remember. And I think they just did like a drive and compressor and stuff. But yeah, they've done pedals for a long time.
Because I don't really remember any of that, but the one that I'm looking at here is the Phone Box. Do you know about that? It's their headphone out DI box, which looks pretty good. Well, it's like cheap.
They also do the Tone Pocket, which I've got one of, and that's a very good sort of on the fly headphone straight in jamming bass solution.
The double pedals that I'm thinking of, yeah, have been out for a while. They did like a Pino Palladino signature. They did a bass filter. There's like a few Nate Mendel signature drive. But the coolest one, clearly, of that bunch was the Ashdown Bassometer Chromatic Bass Tuner pedal. And it looks like a bit of kind of, I don't know, almost a bit of like safety engineering.
Wasn't it
gear.
Like orange?
It's orange, yeah. And it's got the VU meter and it's got the kind of, which I guess does level. And then you've got the note that you're playing and then you've got a kind of left and right indicators for whether you're in tune or not. And I just like the fact that it's called the bassometer. they've done a whole bunch of stuff. Loads and loads of pedals.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Loads of stuff. Now, speaking of pedals, Matthew Knight, you've been continuing your trend of purchasing more pedals than should be humanly possible.
Yeah. It's that or records. And when you're sat in front of a computer all day at home, not spending money on going to work or buying sandwiches, just spending your time on eBay buying guitar pedals. And I thought, well, I might as well just increase. Well, we spoke about the Dan Electro pedals, and I thought, oh, really should just, you know, get more. I guess is the simple one for that. And I was like, right, I'm going to get the Wah pedals that we spoke about. So the first one that I got, I bought, it was very weird. It was in the chassis for a Trip L Wah, which is the leopard print. They look like 50s American cars, leopard print, but it says Shift Daddy on the base. And I was like, oh, maybe it's a Shift Daddy in a different house. And I got it and it arrived broken, which was a shame. Contact the person, said, look, I'll just return it. And they just went, oh, I don't really want it. So just keep it. So I've currently got a broken Trip L Wah, which is there basically. I don't actually know what the controls do because the base plate on it is wrong.
<'Cause it's broken.
laughs> And the base plate is wrong. So the base plate gives you all the controls. But after that podcast, a couple of listeners reached out to me who had found other Dan Electro pedals for the collection and kindly donated them. So Hans Ams sent me a Dan Electro Blue Paisley Overdrive, which was, I believe, was a limited pedal they did around probably the late 90s, early 2000s, which I think was just like their normal overdrive, but it just had a blue paisley finish to it. Goes nicely with the black paisley heavy drive that I've got. And then Liam Martin from Australia found a Dan Electro Danowar in a garden center for $5. Apparently spotted it amongst a bunch of pots or something and was like,
what?
How much do you want for that? And they were like, I don't know, $5. So he bought it and sent it all the way from Australia for me. And that pedal is also ridiculous. The Danowar. And, I mean, in terms of a functioning foot pedal, kind of ridiculous. So you've got an octave on there. You've got three different types of wah. You've got an onboard distortion. You can have two memories, which you can change between on the little switches on the top. And then the tail lights change depending on which mem you're on, and then change color whether you've activated the wah circuit or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the one we've talked about these before. That's the one that I always remember because I remember, yeah, obviously there's the triple wah and stuff, but like that's the one that I remember selling, you know, a lot of back in the day because it just did everything.
Yeah. So I think they're great. So I'm missing the shift daddy now, I think. which is the slapback delay.
In the car housing again.
In the car housing. And basically it shifts between two very short delay times.
Very weird.
Just so we're clear, in today's exchange rate, $5 is £2.67. So that's got to be one of the greatest purchases of thrift store guitar shop purchase ever. That's fantastic. Great job, Liam.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And for Hans to hunt down the blue paisley, which is, I've not seen many of those previously.
There was a black paisley as well, right? Did you
There
talk
was a black
that?
Paisley as well. Yeah.
That was the metal one.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both metal, but yeah, well, but metal, sorry, yeah, because it's distortion with an octave switch.
Yes.
Which is exactly what you want.
Basically, the Dan Electro hunt continues. Yes. I think what I really want to buy next is the Real Echo, because that is actually a great pedal.
That is a great pedal.
The Real Echo is fantastic.
Have you already got the Spring King, Matt?
I haven't got the Spring King. I need
the
Spring
King. For listeners
as well.
Who don't know the Real Echo, Matt?
The Real Echo is effectively a replica of a Watkins copycat in a big kind of DL4-sized house that's just got one big slider for delay time.
It's got no real tape or anything in it, though.
No real tape. It's just called the Real Echo.
But it looks so good.
It does look
which
good.
Is, as we've discussed many times, the important thing.
It's a surf green pedal, which is very cool.
But the Spring King actually does have real springs in it.
Yeah, I was always confused about that. Like, does it definitely?
Yes, because it has the Thunder Pad, which is the kick pad that you can stamp on for a thunderous spring sound. Never worked.
It's not great.
But it does definitely have springs in it.
Wow. That is very cool.
Yeah. Real spring reverb tank inside. Yeah, yeah. Wow, there we go.
Difficult thing to do. There's not been many companies that have done that, I don't think. I mean, obviously now there's the Anna Sounds.
Yeah, the...
Which is similar. And there was the Karl Martin Headroom, which I was...
Oh, my goodness.
Headroom, is that what
that was called? Yeah, it was called the Headroom. God,
yeah.
That thing
Roommate was the T-Rex pedal, wasn't it? Yeah, Headroom. Yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
I always
that
really
thing
that.
Sounded
I thought
amazing.
It was a great pedal.
Yeah, that was like, yeah. That Cole Martin, I remember distinctly as being one of the best reverb
sounds
I've ever
actually
heard.
Bizarrely enough, I was looking at that the other day because they still make it. They're £199.
The Headroom?
Yeah.
Ah, I'm buying it now.
I wonder, actually, thinking about it, the Spring King looks like it's still in production. It's on Dan Electro's website with a price. So, yeah,
Wait a minute.
Man looks at the internet.
Yeah. So, it is on Dan Electro's website in the accessories category for some reason. It's there with a price, $199.
Wow. Yeah, I think... with all of these things, the one thing I really want is a product catalogue from 2005. Just so I can see everything that actually was in production. It's really difficult to actually work out what they made around that time. But the collection is getting there.
I mean, it's difficult enough to work out what they make now.
Yeah.
But actually, saying that, we should definitely... I haven't checked out many of the new pedals. It's something I definitely want to try out, some of their new ones.
Well, like the Big Spender and the Billy...
No, the other ones that came out now. So the Breakdown and the Eisenhower Fuzz.
Yeah, I think looking at it, those are the only two they make. They don't make the Big Spender or any of that stuff anymore.
Were they called the Billionaire?
Billionaire ones.
Those have gone. And now
because they were good. I mean, they were well priced.
Yeah, they were well priced. They sounded good as well. They were well enough built as well. No, these new ones are in like really traditional housings, aren't they? And they're kind of relics.
Yeah. And they're also they're fair whack of money, $149. So yeah, be interesting to hear those. Talking about lost pedals from the early 2000s, something that came across my radar today because I saw one for sale, the Zoom GM200, which I'd completely forgotten about. One of those things that you erase from your memory banks and then you see a picture of it and you're like, oh my God, I've forgotten that even existed. The Zoom GM200 was, from what I can remember, basically the first pod competitor. So it must have come out, I guess, around 2000, 2001, something like that. I did try and do a bit of digging, but I couldn't really find much info about it. But what it is a desktop guitar amp modeler, in the vein very much of a pod. So you've got, what, 11 amp models, which range from American Clean through Blues Tweed, British Drive, Metal Panel, and Fuzz Stack, which I'm guessing is like the equivalent of like Insane on the Line 6 stuff, and some basic effects, chorus, tremolo, echo, and reverb, and then plus some kind of cab modeling. So you've got Line Audio, which I guess is no character modeling, which probably sounds terrible. MTR recording presets, direct, air, and wide, and then some guitar amp modeling that says normal, bright, warm, or bottom. So I'm guessing there's no like
bottom
indeed. There's bottom. No actual kind of cabs being modeled. They're just doing stuff with EQ and making some different sounds. And then, yeah, gain, master volume, 3-band EQ, and then Zoom noise reduction in there as well. But it's weird. It looks like a sort of apocalyptic shoulder pad. Looks like someone's it looks like someone's bent like a license plate round and made it into a kind of Fallout style shoulder pad and then stuck some controls on it. It's a very, very weird product. £65 if you want one now.
I've got to tell you, Mark, you're not selling it. You're really, even for £65.
How about this? It's got phono output. So, you know.
You can plug it straight into your turntable.
Straight into your hi-fi. Do what you need. It's also got an mix in, which I'm guessing is for, like, you know, plug your first generation iPod in. Yes, it's an extremely odd little unit. Do check it out.
Just quickly to bring it back around to something that you might actually want to buy today. Dan Electro, obviously website is less up to date than some dealers' websites, because they also now have reissued the Backtalk and is currently available now from European dealers, which is their reissue of the 2000s classic, which goes for about £279.
What's the Backtalk?
The Dan Electro Backtalk is a reverse delay.
Ah.
But a very, very musical reverse delay. It's just a good sounding repeats, which, you know, had a good like vibe and character to it, unlike just a lot of reverse modes, which sound a bit bland.
Yeah.
This kind of had a real like 60s vibe to it. Cool. And yeah, the originals go for like nearly £300.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
Wow.
Which is ridiculous. So yeah, these are £168.
Did you know that Dan Electro, I'm just on their website now, just looking at some stuff. Like, you know, I check this out occasionally, but as you were saying, you know, the website is not always that up to date and their range changes all the time. Do you know they just make a Strat, the Dan Electro 84?
How have we not talked about this before? It's kind of a Strat body shape, but with a black headstock that's angled back, and it has three lipstick style.
Yeah, three lipstick pickups. What looks like a Wilkinson bridge. I haven't got the spec here, but yeah, what looks like a Wilkinson bridge. Yeah, Wilkinson vibrato bridge. Just a volume and tone and a five-way switch. It's a very odd thing.
I think it actually looks great, and it looks like it would be. I think it looks like a cool alternative, like a funky.
Yeah, the only thing for me is I'm not into the headstock really, because it's that kind of sock or hockey stick.
Oh man, I love those headstocks. It's cool. It's also like slightly angled back, which I really like. I always like headstocks that do that.
They've done a whole bunch of guitars. They've done the 64S.
How are you not aware of this? Have you not been on their site? This is not new news by about a year. But
okay, I love Dan Electro guitars. That guitar that I bought recently is now my main guitar. That's kind of what I'm playing at home all the
time. Yeah.
But I don't have that much reason to dip into the Dan Electro website. But
let's talk about some of the things things. They do have a substantial range now, don't they?
64S is basically a Mosrite-style body, you know, that kind of reverse offset, with a reverse Stratty headstock, and then basically Strat pickups and three controls and a Wilkinson bridge. It's kind of like a Strat and a Mosrite like smashed together.
Yes,
which is not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's very cool. They've actually got quite into the sort of Mosrite shape recently because they released a whole range of like they had the 64 and the 66T, which came out very recently, which is like a hollow body version of a Mosrite. It looks very, very cool with a sort of more of an arch top and an F hole. It kind of gives a whole new look to that sort of Mosrite body shape. But yeah, very cool indeed.
That's the 66T, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
But then they did some things that were kind of, they were like their 59 shape. So the 59X and the 59XT, they're like the 59 shape, that normal like double cut Dan Electro shape, but with Mosrite style pickup configuration, like the angled pickup at the neck and bridge sort of in the opposite direction. They've done some really cool stuff recently.
And then they've got the 64s, which are just their kind of Mosrite style guitars. And they either do those in like again with the angle pickups. Yeah, they do a whole weird range because the 64XT is like three aside headstock in a kind of traditional Dan Electro style, but it's like the Mosrite body but with a Wilkinson Strat bridge on it. But then the 64, the regular 64, is like three aside headstock, but it's like a kind of, I'd say it's more Gibson-y almost. The Mosrite body with like a Bigsby on it. So yeah, they do a pretty bewildering range of stuff.
Yeah. They're great.
It's odd. But
yeah.
Cool guitars.
Yeah, very much so. Very much a cool range of guitars. Now, I've also been messing around with some new stuff this week. Matt Knight was very kind to send me on loan a Boss GT1000, which I've been having a lot of fun with this week, getting to terms with. Because, you know, I didn't realise, but the GT1000 is probably the most affordable multi-effects unit you can buy at the moment.
Out of any multi-effects unit you can buy, the GT1000 is the most affordable you can buy
I mean out of those front runners. Out of
£799.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
the cheapest multi effects.
I mean, out
you
of
can
the
buy right now.
Yes, you know what I mean. But I was it's fantastic. I've had an amazing time with it. So the thing that the GT1000 goes for, which is, you know, very different from the Helix, rather unlike Line 6, where they just try and pack it full of loads of different amps. The Boss has few, but all of them are very, very good and very well put together. And the GT1000 doesn't, as Matt has pointed this out on the podcast countless times before, but the GT1000 doesn't try as much to say, you know, with the Line 6, it's like, I'm going to choose this amp head and now I'll flick through this range of 50 cabs. The Boss GT1000 has kind of already done the head and cab matching for you, and very much the those models are designed to interact, those head and cabs interact with each other in the same way that they would in real life. And it's not that you can't change them, you can certainly do that, but they've made perfect pairings for you. So it's kind of less about, messing around and trying a billion different things, and more about it being like, here are some great sounds.
That's good, because whenever I mess around with stuff like that, I always am like, I'll plug this. I haven't plugged it in for ages. And I'll be like, why does this metal sound that I've put together sound really bad? And then I remember that, like, I put a dual rec into the cab of a Blues Junior just because I thought it'd be fun. And it sounded terrible, of course.
Yeah.
And that's how I left it. And I don't need to be able to micromanage that stuff.
That's a good way of putting it as well, because this is like great sounds without the micromanagement. Essentially, Boss have done all of that kind of hard work for you. And I got this predominantly because I was, I wanted something to record bass that was going to be, was going to allow me a lot of clarity. I wanted a lot of clean headroom, and I was really struggling to get that with the Line 6 Helix. I've got some great sort of big, powerful, distorted tones, and you know, certainly even when I went to look around on the Line 6 tone website, I can't remember the exact name of it, when I was hunting around on there, people make presets. Every single preset is metal. Every single preset's for an active five string. Like there's, and it's just, and I guess I understand that that is the community where the Helix has really become very popular. But I was like, man, I just want, I just want some help making a goddamn studio bass sound. But the DT1000 has some very good bass presets. Really simple, because there's just the one bass amp. Two, if you count, because they've got their new AIRD technology, which are creating all the preamps in the GT1000, but they've also included their X series technology in there, which includes things like, Jay, that pedal that you and I got, the that X series bass preamp, the
BB1X
and stuff like that, which of course works in its own right as kind of an aggressive distorted head. I've been using it with the clean bass amp that the GT1000 provides, and just using it kind of as a drive pedal there. And of course it has the X series compressor, which is a fantastic and very, very musical compressor. And kind of whilst that was it for bass, that was my bass drive, that was my bass compressor, and that was my, you know, one bass amp head, straight out of the box, that was a fantastic straight into an interface clean sound that I could then, you know, mess around with, add distortion whilst retaining headroom, add, you know, as much modulation as I want. It was just a really quick, easy way to record. So I'm still in the, I've only really used it for bass at the moment. I'm going to start messing around with some of the guitar bits and bobs on there as well. It's become very important to me recently how well a digital reverb can replicate like a real spring. So I'm going to see how the GT1000 holds up, because I've been unable to make anything match the sound of my Tweed Blues Junior with the reverb maxed out. The problem is, if I want to record any of those sounds, it's really only appropriate for me to do so kind of, I guess, in the middle of the day and not really for a very long period of time, because you need to have it so loud. So,
I'm sure your neighbours think it's never appropriate for you to do that, if I'm honest.
Yes, yeah.
So exactly. GT1000, I'm quite into the idea of, and Matt, you know, you might want to correct me on this, but it seems like, you know, that what the GT1000 is, the high quality kind of amp modelling and stuff that we're seeing from these, obviously, these high-end amp modellers, but very much kind of fashioned into more of a traditional multi-effects, you know, in that kind of format, you know, where it is fairly easy to get around. And like Joe said, it's less about kind of diving into the sound and doing all the mixing and matching and stuff. It's like, here's just some great sounds and you can turn stuff on and off as you want. Is that right?
Yeah. Basically, I mean, yeah, I guess you can look at it that way. I mean, the big thing with the AIRD technology is that what we tried to do was recreate, rather than putting together a sound being like an equation, so like Jay said, like this amp head plus this power amp plus this speaker equals this sound, which is like a generated algorithm, I guess you would say. It's like that never actually existed. You're feeding one into the other, where this is much more about, okay, so this amp into this cab, what is the interaction between the preamp, the power amp, and the speaker? Both ways, because there's negative feedback, which is the current that goes between the power amp and the speaker and back again. So all of that is kind of modeled, which gives you all the sort of dynamics. And then, yeah, you basically have the entire signal chain laid out in any preset. So on any preset, you can have everything or nothing turned on.
Yeah,
but it's all there, so you can just literally just click it on as you want and then dial it in. And of course you can deep dive and you can edit and, you know, do all that if you want, but there's just, to me, it's just like, there's a couple of, I've got one here, I've been messing around with it at home just into monitors, and I never really like a monitor sound because it never really feels dynamic. But because the GT's got a little bit more of a dynamic feel to it, it's kind of just like, oh, it's just a good amp sound, and you just dial in a couple of extra bits as needed. I think, you know, a lot of people I spoke to who have used it don't use it for wacky stuff.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I want. And you know, yeah, the
well, I'm, yeah, you want the wacky stuff. You
well,
love
no,
that.
No. I do.
You're the wackiest person I know, Joe.
But I wasn't wishing to sort of to naysay on the Helix at all. The Helix is a fantastic unit, and certainly for adding, you know, 50 different absolutely crazy delays and assigning them to different parameters on the foot switch very easily and quickly, it is an excellent tool. But for getting just a simple functional tone that is not simpanal. A metal simpanal. Tone.
Simpanal. Yeah. Simple and functional.
Is that what I said?
Simpanal, isn't it?
Simpanal and
functionary.
Functional and simpanal tone. For a functional simpanal tone.
Maniac.
The GC1000, yeah, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I absolutely loved it. Do you know what else I loved? Bass wire. The bass wire on it is wonderful. It's really good.
No one has ever needed a bass wire for anything.
Yeah, just a manual bass wire. It's really good. It's actually really good. The problem that I found with the Helix manual bass wires is none of them are voiced for bass. So they just suck all your tone out as soon as you turn them on. Whereas the bass wire on
give
the...
Give me one example of where a bass wire has ever been used by anyone.
One Order it uses them all the time. All
Metallica.
Over.
Metallica. You know that one bass sound? Na 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 na. Da 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 da.
Ba bum ba bum bow.
That one. Do you know that one that every bass player wants a wah pedal for?
We were listening
to Master
of
Puppets.
We were listening to Master of Puppets this week. Not that is, because that is For Whom the Bell Tolls. But we were listening to Master of Puppets this week. That record is so good. I wish I'd gotten into... I realised this is a continuation from a conversation we had a couple of weeks ago. I wish I'd gotten into Metallica when I was 15, because I'd have had an extra nearly 20 years of listening to a really good band. I've just never really paid that much attention to them. This year, I've been playing Kill 'Em All loads, been playing Master of Puppets loads. What a great band.
Saint Anger. That's the record you want to listen to.
Clang, 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 clang.
Also,
the thing that's worrying is Saint Anger came out, probably came out closer to, maybe not Master of Puppets. Don't know. It came out a long time. It was 17 years ago.
Did any of you see the video doing the rounds this week of a guy playing, I can't remember which Metallica song it was, but he triggered all of his drums so that every drum hit, including the bass drum and the toms and the cymbals, was the snare hit from Saint Anger.
Brilliant.
It was unbelievable. So funny. Not even tuned or anything. Not tuned as in
clang.
The tops are, the higher toms are higher and the lower toms are lower. It was just the one sample. One of the funniest things that I've seen this week. Also, if you get time, check out Elton John's performance.
I knew you were going to
say of I'm Still Standing from the, whatever it was called, the lockdown concert, One World, One Love, or whatever. It was something like that. One of the most bizarre musical performances I've ever seen. It is unbelievable. And I've probably watched it yesterday. I think we probably watched it maybe 15 times back to back. And I saw something... incredible and new every single time I watched it. Please watch it. It's just, I can't even tell you how good it is. Musical highlights of the week.
This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergold Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar Magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergold Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist Magazine.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergold dealer at shergoldguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergold dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergold will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoldguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original. One of the most popular Ernie Ball Music Man models, the John Petrucci Majesty, is being expanded with four brand new striking finishes. Now offered in Pink Sand, Red Phoenix, Smoked Pearl, and Ember Glow, the 2020 Majesty features a lightweight Akume body, signature DiMarzio Rainmaker and Dreamcatcher pickups, and an onboard piezo bridge system that gives the guitar a focused and highly versatile palette of tones. Head to music-man.com to learn more. That's music-man. Now, back to the show.
Do you reckon that's his outdoor piano? Do you reckon he's got one that's just outdoors all the time?
Maybe, yeah.
He's got like he's got his like nice indoor piano, but that's his like outdoor piano. When, you know, when he's entertaining people, entertaining.
I mean, if his entertaining performances are anything like the performance that he did for that concert, I would pay the money it would be required to move in next door to Elton John so I could see that every day, because it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
On another bit of news.
We haven't actually noted,
but I wanted to put, not in terms of product news, in terms of a couple of bits of secondhand guitar news.
Go for it.
Did everyone see that Kurt Cobain's 1959 Martin is coming up for sale?
Oh, the one from Unplugged in New York.
Yes. And I had no idea that he fitted two D'Armond pickups to it.
Yeah.
So it's basically an electric guitar.
I don't think it is the one from Unplugged in New York.
Really?
No, it is. The one that's up for sale at the moment, I found the news recently because it was given to his daughter, and she got married, and in the divorce, the person she was married to won the guitar in the divorce, and then he's decided to sell it.
Oh, that is fierce.
It is that guitar.
There's one in the at the Martin Museum.
Right.
And I thought it was that one, but clearly I'm incorrect.
Yeah, so this is from the Telegraph. Kurt Cobain's MTV Unplugged guitar up for sale for $1 million at auction. Oof. And yes, it is the one with the two D'Armond pickups fitted. That's why when on the kind of riff bit from Man Who Sold the World, that's why it sounds so kind of spiky and odd. It's because I guess these pickups are like almost like gold foils, right? They're kind of bright and, yeah, it's got that kind of piercing effect to it. I think I might be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure he used the DS1 for the...
I think he did, yeah.
For that part of the song.
And also, and Jay will love this bit of news, the olive green cardigan worn by him from that session sold at auction for $334,000.
Crikey, that is some expensive knitwear.
They reckon it's going to go for $1 million.
The guitar?
Yeah, the guitar. And I think the guy who buys it will be the same guy that bought the Gilmore Strat.
The guy who owns the Cincinnati Reds or whatever.
Yeah, the football team.
Is it the Reds?
DS2, Matty, for
DS2.
Kurt Cobain.
It's classic. Absolute classic. Yeah. And then on a second bit of secondhand guitar news, that Matt Bellamy bought Jeff Buckley's Telecaster.
And I hear he's planning to fit a Chaos Oscillator into it.
It's the dream.
He's like, stick a Chaos Oscillator in it, mate. I just bought this 59 Les Paul. Can you put a Chaos Oscillator in it, please? Because obviously Matt Bellamy owns Manson Guitars now. Bought that, wants to use it on some recordings. They've already taken it to pieces, apparently, according to the news story, to find out about all the pickups and everything.
I thought you meant he'd smashed it up. Right, okay.
Yeah, he's already just... Yeah, it's just...
He hated him. Bought it just to destroy it.
Just doing a bit more reading quickly on this Kurt Cobain guitar, because actually there's a ton of interesting stuff on this. So, in fact, from what I'm reading in this, I mean, it's a forum, so I take this with a pinch of salt, but the people here seem to think that actually those two pickups were not used, and the one that you hear on the record is a... I can't find the manufacturer now. It's a acoustic pickup under the bridge. What do they call it? Why have I completely...
Piezo
pickup.
Piezo!
Is that going into a DS2, which is...
What a sound.
The other interesting thing is the guitar case that it comes with, which seems to be the original case, has a flyer from the band Poison Idea stuck to the front of it, which is very weird.
He was big into punk and kind of the like first wave emo stuff. Like I was looking at a mixtape compilation that he put together at one point, and it had like, it's got like some Fugazi on there, some Rites of Spring. There's like, he was big into the band The Wipers, who are this like garage band. Like Kurt Cobain seems like he did a lot for like that sort of music as well. He was always championing
that last tour, or one of the last tours. I don't know if it was specifically the last one, but Jawbreaker were the opening act.
Yeah, of course.
And he picked them to do that. So there's some really interesting. There's a chapter in Ben Weasel's book about he went on tour with them and documented the whole thing. It's super interesting.
That Jawbreaker documentary, for people who are interested, is on Amazon Prime now. And is worth a watch. I put on a screening of it in Brighton, like not long after it came out, and it was good. It was like really interesting. So I definitely recommend watching that if you're into your sort of like 90s punk history.
Alternatively, you could do what I'm going to force Jay to do this week, which is watch the Bucks Fizz documentary, which is on YouTube. Again, one of the funniest things that you could do, highly recommend it. It's called Trouble at the Top. It's about the declining fortunes of the band Bucks Fizz.
Wow. Great spoonerism.
Indeed.
I'd just like to offer a correction and an apology to anyone from either Indianapolis or Cincinnati, because... Jim Irsay, who's the guy who bought David Gilmour's Strat, does not own the Cincinnati Reds, who are a baseball team. He does, of course, own the Indianapolis Colts, who are a football team. I couldn't have got this much worse, because they're like about an hour and a half away from each other, which nothing in America is an hour and a half away from anything else in America. So I apologize if there's like a big rivalry there and you've thrown your radio in the river or whatever. I don't know.
I 100% thought you were going to say the Denver Broncos, and then I remembered the owner is Homer Simpson. So
the Denver Broncos.
Now let's do some news, because there are some fun things in the news this week. Here's the jingle.
News.
First up, Matthew Knight. Matt Knight, you added something last minute. Why don't you tell us about your exciting addition to this week's news?
Yes, we should probably talk a little bit about JHS. So JHS, obviously have, as well as building great pedals, have built a fantastic YouTube channel. They're sort of one of the most followed sort of guitar YouTube channels out there. Josh's sort of look into the history of guitar pedals and the weird and the wonderful that's all out there. It's been fantastic, which has led to a great platform to launch his new series, The Legends of Fuzz. So if you remember, I think maybe probably summer last year, maybe a bit later, he did a series of kind of fuzz pedals, the 66, the 69, I think under the same brand name, where he was basically building them in his basement. And everyone came with like a Polaroid of the pedal being built. And they were, I think, about $400 or $500. Sold out like absolutely instantly, using, you know, carefully hand selected components and all of that, but built by Josh himself. So now they have released the Legends of Fuzz series, which is a, I guess, maybe sub brand isn't the right word, because they're still JHS pedals, but they come in a new enclosure. They are based off sort of a legendary specific fuzz pedals from his personal collection. So anyone who watches the show knows that he does have an insane collection of pedals, including Klon Centaur number 2, which is just ridiculous. And you know, I've spoke to him and met him a bunch of times, and he is just really into guitar pedals. So he's got a lot of really kind of legendary classic fuzz pedals, and they've rebuilt those, starting with this first four. He reckons there's going to be a bunch more as well. It's going to be an ongoing series. I think they're about £179, so really
very
really
reasonably
affordable.
Priced.
And the four that he started with is the Bender, which is his 73 Mark III Tone Bender replica, based on what they call the onomatopoeia version. So for those of you who are familiar with the kind of solar sound pedals, they're the ones where fuzz is written in the kind of Batman comic book style font. The weird thing about this one compared to all the other ones, which I'll talk about in a second, this one is an exact replica in a sense, because he's created the exact same sound, but rather than using germanium transistors, which are in the original Tone Benders, he's used silicon, but matched the silicon transistors to something that sounds exactly the same. And also added in an additional switch for a bunch of different sort of tonal options. So yeah, you've got that one. You've got the Crimson, which is the one that I'm kind of into. This is the 1992 Mike Matthews Red Army Overdrive replica. So Electro Harmonix basically went bankrupt twice. And then in the early 90s, Mike Matthews realized how expensive the original Big Muffs were getting. So he worked out a deal with an ex-Soviet manufacturing company to basically remake the original circuit, but he couldn't, I think for legal reasons, call them Electro Harmonix at the time. So yeah, it's the Mike Matthews Red Army Overdrive by Sovtek, which was the Russian manufacturer. So I thought that was very cool. Just a simple sort of three control fuzz. The Smiley, which is the fuzz face, the silicon fuzz face, which was the one that Hendrix famously used in 1969. And then the Supreme, which is a 1972 Univox Super Fuzz. For those of you who might not be familiar with the name, will know the sound because it's what the Behringer Super Fuzz that everyone's been raving about in forums for the last sort of 6 months is based on. Plenty of octave up style fuzz pedals follow a similar sort of sound and feel. Very rare to get the originals. They were built in Japan for a very, very short time. But yeah, it seems like a really, I mean, the enclosure's cool. They're really simple, just black with white text.
They're very cool. Top mounted controls.
Yeah, top mounted controls, like a kind of wedge shape. Yeah, I mean, and a great, great price. I think, you know, again, it's really allowing people to basically try things like an original fuzz face,
yeah,
without actually having to go out and trying to find one. I mean,
giving people access to this sort of legendary stuff is only a cool and brilliant thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, based on his exact ones, I think is quite, rather than just, you know, there's a bunch of Tone Bender pedals out there and fuzz face pedals. And it's like, this is our take on the fuzz face. But of course, fuzz pedals, every fuzz pedal sounds different because the components vary so much. So him saying, I've got this exact one, I love the sound of it, this is what it is based on, I think that's quite cool.
Yeah, very cool.
And
that,
it looks like they're available now. So yeah, there we go. The Legends of Fuzz.
Go and pick one up, people. I think they're very cool. I think I want the Bender. I think I might get that. That looks
cool. I think the Supreme's pretty cool.
The Supreme's very cool. Yeah, the Univox Supreme. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to make a decision. One of these I shall get. Now, I need to usher in the next piece of news instead of looking at these instead of looking at these pedals.
Distracted by the pedals.
Yeah, sorry about that. So why don't we continue talking about pedals? Mark Packham.
Hello. You've thrown to something that I was not expecting you to throw
fine.
To. But I can
Mark
talk,
Packham, why don't we...
I can talk about this anyway. So, brand new, announced, I think today, or maybe... No, just this weekend. The company is J Rocket Audio Designs, known for, I guess, primarily their Archer. But I know another one that's kind of picked up steam for them is the Boing Reverb. This is their brand new pedal, the Brova Drive. I'm not a huge fan of the name, if I'm honest, but I think it may be done slightly tongue-in-cheek because looking at the pedal itself, it's sort of adorned with these ridiculous bro puns. So the controls are Lev Bro, which I think is level, bro gain, and bro tone. So it's a three knob overdrive basically. But yeah,
that's Joe's name.
But what's that?
Joe Broto.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, on the rest of the pedals, there's things like the words Brofessor, Brozevelt,
Bromosapien,
Bromosapien,
Protein
Shake.
Yeah, I like that one. I also like Brotato. Just why is that on a pedal? Why does that exist? So yeah, the idea behind it is that it's not based on a kind of like amp in a box or a tube screamer. It's their own circuit. They describe it as a very musical overdrive, designed to be applicable to all amps and guitars. So yeah, I think it's just kind of a nice drive, and yeah, I think yeah, the kind of look of it, you know, if you want something that looks very different that probably no one else is going to have, or not many people are going to have, a bit of a talking point on your board, this might be something to go to. I did listen to a quick demo and it sounds pretty nice. Like I said, it's just a kind of utility overdrive, and price wise $199, so you know, it's not on the cheap end of things, but it does seem to be a kind of classy sounding drive.
Yeah, from an excellent company as well. So.
Well, yeah. What does it say dead in the middle of
yeah,
the
pedal?
Yeah,
I was trying to work
that. Does it
that?
Just say Broski? I think it just says Broski.
It does just say Broski.
Oh, dear.
Brotato chip. I mean, oh, yeah, certainly the Bronoculars.
Bronoculars. Oh, I just realised Teddy Brozevelt as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's yeah, like yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Love it. Oh,
wow. There's one. There's another one that I can't read. It's
the one at the top.
It's under the switch. It just yeah, I can't see what it is. B R something.
I'm guessing O next after that.
Brost. Brot? I don't know.
Who knows? Let me see if I can find a high-res image. I'll get back to you. I'll let you know.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, in the meantime, Jay Cross, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a week soon where Fender haven't released new bits and bobs, but that's not this week.
Yes. So, to be honest with you, not a huge amount of new news here.
No, these are just the landing of things, aren't they? Really?
Yeah. So, five new models in the Player series. And this is, I think we talked about this before, how the offset guitars, the offset range has kind of been shepherded into the Player range so that it's all a bit more coherent, which makes sense to me. So there is a load of Duosonics and Mustangs. So there's the Duosonic SS, just a classic, you know, two single coil Duosonic, which really excitingly is now available in Desert Sand, which is just, you know, the classic Duosonic color
with the gold anodized plate.
With the gold plate, yeah. It just looks so good. We used to when we were working at GAC, we used to have a load of the. They used to do this in the Squire range,
yeah.
And we did so many of them. Just they were just so good, cool and so unusual. Yeah.
Just especially on that Squire wall at the shop, it stood out as well as just being like an incredibly good looking guitar. And I think back then when that guitar was around, Squire wasn't that adventurous, you know. Most of the guitars were in the sort of five basic colors and stuff. It really was totally. Back then a complete random in Fender's lineup, but yeah, very cool.
Yeah, completely. So so there's that there, that there's also a Daphne Blue, not Daphne, Lake Placid Blue version of the same guitar. There's the Duosonic HS, which comes in a very classy looking crimson red. And that is a what pickup is that in the bridge? I am looking at a press release. I cannot remember. Can't remember what the pickup is, but there's a humbucker in the bridge. Then over to the Mustangs. So this is very similar to the one that probably people have seen on you post of My Guitar Joe, which is the shell pink one. So really, really cool hardtail Mustang. I absolutely love this guitar. I think that this I had a Mustang before. Again, we've talked about this in the past. I had one of the 65 Japanese Mustangs. I just never got on with the bridge. I never got on with that big tremolo. And the fact that there you can get them now with hardtails, I just think makes them so much more applicable for most people.
Kind of in line with what the guitar should be, like the hardtail, because it's like a simple, no frills, short scale, you know, it's...
Yeah, but the Mustang was like the step up, wasn't it, from the Duosonic?
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
So that's why, I guess, in the past, that had the trend.
It had that. Yeah, this
Finest Gold one looks amazing.
Well, see, I prefer the Daphne Blue, but so there's Daphne Blue with maple board or Fire Mist Gold with a Pal Ferro board. Sienna Sunburst, I think, as well, with a Pal Ferro board. Can't remember. But
finish options are Sonic Blue, Sienna Sunburst, Fire Mist Gold is the one with the Pal Ferro board.
Oh, okay, so Sienna's got the maple board. Yeah, it looks really good, really good. And again, a bit of an unusual colour for Fender. You don't tend to see kind of variations on golds that often. So that is cool. There's also the Mustang 90, which is one that has always proven pretty popular. And that is obviously a Mustang with two P90s. So that is available in Age Natural, which looks really good, actually. The Age Natural, I think, looks proper 70s. It looks like an absolute, it looks like it's been carved out of a 70s worktop. It's really, really looks good.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it now, yeah.
Burgundy Miss Metallic.
Of course, there you go, absolutely.
And a Seafoam Green as well, which is really nice. And just rounding out the range, there is the Mustang PJ bass, which you can get in a Fire Mist Gold, the Age Natural, or Sienna Sunburst again.
Very nice. The Age Natural with that torque guard looks very good on the PJ Mustang bass. Really,
the Age Natural really is on this range, I think, really, really looks really nice. So, yeah, very good selection there.
Even on the bass, I'm into the Fire Mist Gold. Looking at it now, that looks like a much more expensive instrument than it is. That
Fire Mist Gold is one of those colours, really nice. Though, isn't it? You pop it on anything, and it just makes everything look a little bit more custom shoppy.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'm getting that sort of vibe off this. It looks amazing.
Yeah, very cool indeed. Now, Matthew Knight, why don't you tell us about Old Blood Noise Endeavors?
Yes. So has I don't know if the Friday special has gone out yet.
It has. Yes, it went out last week. In fact, our most recent Friday special was the one with Brady Smith from Old Blood Noise Endeavors.
So yeah, that's well worth a listen to a little bit of the back history of the company. We absolutely love this brand. Old Blood Noise Endeavors have just announced the Fault version 2. So for people who weren't aware, the Fault was their dual overdrive with a three band graphic EQ. So you've basically got something that goes from a clean boost to sort of all-out gain with three EQ sliders for low, mid, and high frequencies. And then you've got an extra boost switch there as well. So the V2 adds in a couple of new features. Basically, you've got a voice control. So this sets the overall tone of the gain going into the EQ. And then the boost sets the range of the first gain, so you've got more versatility over the overall drive control. The EQ basically just really is a really active, really strong EQ, so you can really tailor the sounds. You know, you can make it really boomy, you can sort of, you know, suck out all the mids if you want, and obviously in typical sort of old blood noise fashion goes from usable to all out extreme if you want it to. Plus you've got the crush switch, which is another post EQ clipping stage, so a whole bunch of gain to sort of mess around with. Definitely one if you want to try something a little bit different. Plenty of sort of options to tweak it around, and no doubt will come with some recommended settings and some cool artwork in the box.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely worth checking out. It's awesome. That's the Fault V2.
Yeah, excited to see a pedal that we liked the first time around get a bit of a...
Absolutely, you know. And this one's in a funky orange colour too.
It does look very nice.
Can I just... before I know you need to close out this episode, Joe, but I've got some breaking
news. I'm going to talk about one more piece of news as well before
we
finish.
I was going to say, breaking news, just announced, brand new Dan Electro pedal, the Roebuck Distortion, which apparently dropped... like 2 or 3 hours ago.
Yes.
So yeah, did we didn't have that in the notes to talk about, did we?
No, I didn't put it in the notes actually. I did get the press release for it, but yeah, I didn't put it in the notes. So I probably should have done.
We spent the first 45 minutes of this podcast talking about Dan Electro pedals.
Yeah, why didn't you bring it up then? I've only just seen it.
I should have done. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is basically, it looks like it's based on the Ibanez Mostortion, which is a fairly famous pedal, but I have not had any kind of first-hand experience on it. Three-band EQ, distortion and level controls, and then a three-way switch, which I'm just trying to, like I said, I'm just reading this right now. Touch sensitive three-band EQ. Okay, so that's the three-band EQ. Where's the...
but it's touch sensitive.
What does
sensitive
the switch do?
Sensitive to the touch.
Okay. Expands its potential with two additional clipping modes via a top-loaded mini toggle switch. With the distortion control set to low, the Roebuck will tickle crunch tones and boosted breaks from the front of your guitar amp. Raising the distortion level and mid-control produces upper harmonics and increased drive for classic blues tones.
Really? You get increased upper harmonics by boosting the mids?
Indeed. So yeah, that sounds interesting. Another one for the collection, Matty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll wait like 15 years. and then go back and get them.
They've also the pedals are just unstoppable. They also did the 3699 fuzz. Do you know about that?
Yeah, I think, is that the one that's based on... so I don't know if we talked a little bit about this. So actually, it kind of links into JHS a little bit. He did an episode with... the guy's name is Steve something. I can't remember. And he was basically... he's been like an MI industry like entrepreneur. So he invented something called the Fox Tone Machine, which is a really famous fuzz like in the 70s. He then bought the Dan Electro brand from the back of a magazine in the 80s.
We talked about this a month or so ago.
A couple of months ago. So he bought the brand. Watch the JHS show on it. It's really interesting. Yeah, he bought the brand from the back of a music trade magazine in the 80s in LA. And yeah, it's responsible for all of the Dan Electro stuff. But he also, yeah, invented this really famous fuzz pedal called the Fox Tone Machine, which I think was finished in like velvet or something. And I think that 3699 is based on that fuzz pedal. Very, very cool. That's another sort of... upper octave sort of really sort of fuzzed out pedal. It's got that kind of like 70s
that
sort
clippy
of
sound
vibe. Yes, it's really, really cool. But they seem to have ditched the Billionaire series pretty quickly and have gone for this sort of more solid metal.
What's weird though is I'm looking at retailers, and retailers have still got the Billionaire stuff in stock, and some of them have even got like old Food Series stuff brand new in stock. So
really?
But like, is that old or have they... this is the problem with Dan Electro. My only gripe with Dan Electro, as cool as they are, like they need to keep their website up to date because the website doesn't have this 3699 fuzz on it. It doesn't have this Roebuck distortion on it. It doesn't even have the new version of the backtalk on there. So yeah, if they just did that, then we'd all know what was going on.
Yeah. Yes, indeed, indeed. Anyway, before we go, I also wanted to talk about KMA Audio, a pedal company that we obviously spoke about quite a lot over the last few weeks, but they have, just when this episode is airing, just released a limited edition run of the Logan, which is their drive pedal, which I was a big fan of. This was a really mid-pushed this was a really mid-pushed drive pedal that allowed you to control the frequency sweep of those mids via an expression pedal as well, if you wanted to.
This, more importantly, yeah, this is the one with the wolf holding a baby narwhal on the front of it.
That is exactly what it is, a wolf holding a narwhal on the front. But this is a limited edition desert white finished Logan drive. So they're only making 100 of these, but I really think this is an absolutely fantastic, really unique, really interesting sounding drive that can be, you know, at once, you know, your standard functional drive and then can give you all that Cocked Wah style mid-pushness, which I'm a very big fan of. But yeah, only 100 of these, and you know, they're still going to be like £175, which, you know, is not a lot of money for an absolutely fantastic and very original sounding overdrive pedal. So yes, get them while they're hot, because they're literally being announced. I think if you're listening to this on Patreon, then the day it comes out, then it's come out today. Otherwise, you know, only very recently for everyone else. So go and check them out. But yeah, that does in fact bring us up to about time on this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. And you can, of course, listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon site, patreon.com/guitarnerds. This week, me and Matt are, we're about to go and record the final episode of The Pedals That Made Us, where we're going to be talking about the explosion of boutique pedals. And we're going to be talking about all our favorite little brands of pedals that have sprung up over the years, all of the ones that we can remember, and we're going to try and squeeze them all into one episode. So if you're looking for some inspiration for new effects, then that is absolutely going to be the episode to listen to.
New series next week.
New series next week. What's the new series, Mark Packham?
Yeah, I'm going to take over this one. So I'm. We talked about it a bit before, but it's kind of coming into place now. So brand new series from next week, 5-part series, Gear There and Everywhere, which is going to be a bit of a deep dive on some of the stories behind the Beatles gear, primarily guitars. We're going to look at a few guitars, some bass stuff and some amp stuff, interestingly as well, over the course of 5 weeks. I'm going to be using some like isolated tracks and stuff, so you can really hear what the gear sounds like. I haven't decided fully what all of the 5 episodes are going to be, but if you're fans of the Beatles or just like interesting guitar stories in general, that's what we're doing for the next 5 weeks.
Hosted by Mark Packham himself, dear listener. So definitely tune in for that. And to become a Patreon supporter, it costs only $1 a month, and you can enjoy this podcast ad-free and early every week. At the $5 tier, you can enjoy the extra episode every week, plus you have access to our entire back catalogue of almost 500 episodes of podcasts. And at the $10 tier, you can become an executive producer and enjoy all those benefits, plus the prestigious honour of having your name featured in our podcast outro song. You can follow us on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds, and you can join us on our Facebook at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. And actually, right at the end of this episode, I would like to take this moment to thank everyone who has become a member of our Facebook community, GuitarNerds group, on Facebook. Because starting from this week, we're now part of the More Together campaign with Facebook. So I'd like to thank everyone who entered a video of them shredding in their bedroom for the More Together campaign. So that will be starting across Facebook, all across the world this week. So well done. And I think well done to Andy McKenzie, who I believe has been chosen as the poster boy for this group's content. But yes, thank you very much, everyone, for being a part of that. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, gang.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.